2 Corinthians tonight, if you would, for just a little while. And we're going to look at one verse, in verse 28, while you stand to your feet. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28. And I want to preach what the Lord's given us tonight. And when I get done, some of you probably ain't going to like me. And I'm not saying that lightly tonight, but I kind of figured it as I sat down to study. I kind of figured some ain't going to like me because as I studied, I didn't like me neither. And so when you don't even like yourself, you know you're really in a mess then. And but I want you to look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 28. If you happen to be saved, say amen.
Amen.
Looking for Jesus to come, say amen. 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 You know, they're saying he's going to come on the 23rd. Is it the 23rd of September? Is that when it is? 23rd? He might come on the 22nd. He might come on the 24th, but I sure ain't looking for him on the 23rd. The Bible said no man knows the hour. Amen? And I don't think he would give man that ability to know that. But you know the thing about it is, he may not wait till the 23rd. He may come before I get done preaching tonight. He may come before I get done reading this scripture. And you need to know that you're saved tonight because Jesus could come in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. And boy, I'm looking for that day. Amen. I'm glad I know him and he knows me tonight. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians 11, verse 28. The Apostle Paul said, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. Yes. Ask you now to help us. We certainly stand in need of you and need your direction tonight. Lord, I feel this should be the message for the hour. And we just need your touch. And Lord, we sure do appreciate you coming by while we was in the prayer room. Appreciate you coming by during the singing tonight. But Lord, we certainly need you to come by during the preaching. Lord, you told us in John 15 and 5, without you, we can do nothing. And I realize that tonight. Lord, I just want to preach what you've given us, nothing more, nothing less. And Lord, we don't want to do it in our own spirit or in a spirit of meanness or ugliness tonight, but to do it in a spirit of love. Lord, to preach with folks' hearts on our minds tonight and our heart tonight. And Lord, we want to be a help to your people. And Lord, just want to tell you that we love you and thank you for saving us. It's good to have that assurance tonight. Would you help somebody tonight in the preaching? Tell you again, we love you. Say that sentence near his tail. In your name we do ask and pray. Amen. And amen. You'll be seated tonight. As I was praying there, some of you might get the idea that it might be a little rough. I was listening to Brother Roloff the other day, and he was praying as he was getting ready to preach. And he said, Lord, help me to unload the wagon that thou hast loaded. And I thought, oh my, this is going to be a good one, praying like that. I want to ask you some questions for y'all that was here 3 years and 2 weeks ago. What did I preach standing right here 3 years and 2 weeks ago? Y'all remember? How many of you remember? Jeremiah, you remember what I... That's all right, my wife didn't remember. I thought if anybody would remember what I preached 3 years and 2 weeks ago, that my wife would remember. You remember what I preached, Nicholas? You remember what I preached? Don't look at your wife. She may know, but I want to know if you know what I preached 3 years and 2 weeks ago. I'll give you a little hint. It was a week right before homecoming when we broke down the old church and got ready to rebuild in here. Does that help you any to remember what I preached that Sunday? Some of you are thinking now, got your thinking cap on. It was a three-part series. I preached two standing right here and the last part over in the fellowship hall. So maybe you just got your wheels turning now and trying to think and remember. You remember what it was? I preached a three-part series on a church that was going forward. You remember that message now on me preaching on a church? Some of you are still a little squirrely in the mind. But some of you remember on the message that we preached on a church going forward. I want to ask you tonight, do you think in the past 3 years and 2 weeks, have we went forward? Have we went forward as a church and that for the cause of Christ? I want to look in verse 28 at what the Apostle Paul said tonight. He said, besides all those things that are without, and he's talking about in that verse, if you read prior to that, in verses 21 through verse 28, you'll find that the Apostle Paul was talking about all the sufferings and the persecutions that he went through and that for the cause of Christ. Oh, he talked about how that of the Jews in verse 24, that he had received five times, received 40 stripes, saved one, 195 stripes that the Apostle Paul bore. And and that on his back, and that for the cause of Christ. He said, thrice I was beaten with rods. Once was a thorn. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often. He said, in cold and nakedness. And then he said, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. And I can imagine that what the Apostle Paul had to go through out of all the church planting that he went through, and out of all the churches that he stopped and he preached at and spent time at and cared for those people. And I can honestly say I don't know what he was going through. I only have to care for one church, and that's this church. As your pastor, I only have to care for this one. That ain't that I don't care for the rest of the body of Christ and all the sister churches and all that. That's not it. God's not made me the pastor of those churches, but he's made me the pastor of this church. And so my care must, if I'm going to pastor right and do my job right, must fall on this church right here. My heart must be here. And I tell you tonight, it is. And right here, I'm the pastor. My job is to preach the word and that of sound doctrine. It's to evangelize according to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's to guard against false doctrine in 2 Corinthians 4. It's to rule and to guide the church according to 1 Timothy chapter 3. It's to watch and make sure that the wolves do not enter in and get ready to fight. But we find that my job rests simply to care for the church.
Amen.
To care for it. And I think your job ought to be to care for the church tonight. Do you know that Jesus loved the church and died for the church? As he said in Ephesians chapter 5, he said, husbands, love your wives. Yeah. Even as Christ also loved the church. Amen. Did you get that last night? I'm not looking at you. I'm looking at the one behind you. Amen. Be good for you too. Amen. Be good for that and back there too. Amen. Husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And so we find that we're to love the church. But I am concerned in that for the shape that the church is in. What about the shape? Are we a church that is truly and that going forward, or have we slowed down? Jeremiah, as he preached here a week or two ago, or a month ago, I guess, he made mention of that there's some things different in the church than there used to be. We used to come in with a different attitude and a different mindset and that to go to worship. Now, I tell you, I'm glad that the Lord come by in the prayer room tonight.
Amen.
I needed that.
Yeah.
Now, he may not have come by from the other men in the prayer room, but boy, I tell you, as I was on my knees, he stirred my heart down there in that prayer room. And I tell you, I needed that. If I ever needed God to come by, it was tonight. Amen? And I needed him to help me. But listen, I just want to look at a few. If we are still a church and that going forward, there's always improvement that can be made. There's always room in that to say, look, we got this right, but we just need to up it up a little bit and try a little harder for the Lord Jesus Christ. But listen, if we have lost our vision and lost our excitement of what we're to be doing and that for the Lord, then we're in trouble tonight. Hey, the Bible said in the book of Proverbs, where there is no vision, the people perish. He told the church in the book of Revelation chapter 2, the church at Ephesus, he said, I know thy works. He told them all the things that they done right. He told them how they had just proved them that said they were Jews, but were not. He said all the things that they were doing. But he said, I had somewhat ought against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Listen tonight, I believe doctrinally, I believe the church is sound. At least I believe we're built on a good foundation. I know what I preach. I know what I believe. I know what's being taught in our Sunday school classes. Look, I believe doctrinally we're sound. But there's a lot of churches doctrinally sound, and that's as far as it goes. And so tonight, I just really want to look at the state of the church as we can see it. And church has seemed like that the spirit of the church has kind of just slowed down a little bit. Now maybe I'm reading things wrong and seeing things wrong. You say, man, preacher, I think it's great. I think the way things are going is great. I'm not saying that we ain't doing what we should. I'm just telling you, I think there's some things that we can work on tonight as a church. If you're visiting with us, well, you got off easy tonight. Amen. They say that. Amen. But the state of the church. Can I say that, first of all, number one, sometimes church is what it is. Church is like a roller coaster. It's like life, if you want to know the truth. Hey, the church is a living and a breathing organism. And sometimes church is up, and sometimes it's down. Sometimes it's in the middle, and we just got to enjoy it when it's in the good times. Hey, listen, the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 said to everything, there is a season. I mean, listen, we've all been around long enough to know when the spirit of revival comes blowing through. And boy, God wants to do something and change something in your heart and in your life. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes God intentionally, and that slows a meeting down so that you'll pay attention. Sometimes God may not want you to shout it out. He may want you to sit there and be as quiet as you know how to be where you can listen what the preacher has to say. Amen. You may not agree with that tonight, but I know that to be the truth. Amen. Because if you're shouting it out, chances are you ain't learning a whole lot. And you know what? I like both of them. I do. I like both of them. I love it when it's running on top. I love to learn. But sometimes God gets us in a valley. Sometimes He gets us on the backside of the desert. Well, it's a bad place to be. I hate being on the backside of the desert. But you know what? That's sometimes when I learn my best. Is on the backside of the desert. And sometimes He intentionally puts a church there so that we might learn. So we might learn from each other, and so that we might learn how to love one another. And sometimes it gets a little dark during those times when we're in the desert. But you know what? God still comes by. And I do know this, that it won't always be that way. I know that church will not always, listen, I do not like a dead and dried up church. I don't. And I don't think we're dead and dried up, but no, I hope not. Oh, mercy, I hope not. I hope I ain't got this thing wrong. Scares me to death. And I was telling the men down there in the prayer room, I was talking to my former pastor the other day. I'm talking about the pastor that I got saved under, announced my call to preach under. And me and him were standing down there at the funeral home talking. I hadn't seen him in a long time. And his preaching funeral was at, and we was talking about preaching. And I said, one of the things that scares me the most, one thing that scares me the most is to get right here where I'm at and God not show up. Mm-hmm. That literally scares me. Because you know why? Because I understand the mechanics of preaching. I understand the mechanical side of preaching, how to get your outline ready. I know how to read my scripture and get ready to preach. But I know that if God don't come by, it's going to be no more than sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. You ain't going to get no help. I ain't going to get no help. And we're going to go home worse than what we come in. But sometimes church is simply up and down. Ain't your life just up and down? My life is. I don't know, but you're a pastor of a Baptist church and your life will be up and down too. Amen. Ain't that right, Brother Keith? It's up and down. If there's anybody in here and help me tonight, amen. Hey, listen, he said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Nighttime will not always last. It won't always be like this. Sometimes it does get slowed down. I determined about 8 or 9 months ago that I was going to do just some simple church doctrine preaching. Felt like I needed to. And that's what we've done. For the past 10 or 11 months, I guess it is, I preached a simple church doctrine, what the Bible has to say about some things. And friend, all the time, you're not going to shout on that. Right. One of the things I think about was preaching on modesty. And we did not shout the house down. That was a 3-part series too. On modesty. And you say, well, preacher, you ought to preach that come winter. You know, that's what they say. You preach against Santa Claus in July and how to dress right in December. That's when you preach on all that mess. But listen, sometimes church is what it is. Now, I don't know if that's the issue tonight with our church. I can understand that. So it's just up and down, up and down. And I know that folk outside of me is concerned because we've talked about it. And sometimes it's just up and down. But then number two, not only is church, sometimes it is what it is, but number two, we just simply get weary in well-doing. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, he said, And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now you can only get weary in well-doing if you're doing well. Amen. Ain't that simple tonight? Only if you're well-doing will you get weary in it. Listen, that word weary means having our strength exhausted or being tired. I think we understand that. Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you tonight, when we get ready to come to church, I think we're to be prayed up, read up, and ready to go to meeting. Amen. And that's all the heart do on Wednesday night, ain't it? Amen. That's all the heart do on Wednesday night. Boy, if you've worked all day, and you're tired, and you're give out, and you're wore out, and you say, man, I got to go listen to that preacher tonight. Man, and all I want to do is just be here and rest. Hey, I'm going to tell you, if you'll get to praying somewhere in the middle of the day on Wednesday evening and say, Lord, just get my heart and my mind set and ready to go to meeting tonight, I believe God will do just that. I believe God will help you with that. Hey, listen, I have to do that. I say, Lord, I know my heart. I need to get ready to go to meeting. I'm trying my best to get it where it needs to be, but I'm going to need some help. Yeah. I just don't want to be weary and well-doing. I think we get a little weary in well-doing just simply in coming to church. Now, I know that's not exactly everything that verse is talking about, but I'm going to tell you, if you ain't careful, we just get tired and say, I'm not getting a whole lot out of church. It just don't seem to be helping me. That's not my problem. As long as I'm preaching what thus saith the Word of God is, that's not God's problem. That's your problem tonight. Amen. I'll lay it at your feet tonight. Hey, that's your problem. Now listen, if I wasn't preaching what thus saith the Word of God was, and honestly wasn't preaching what I thought the messages was for each hour, I'd say, yeah, I probably got a problem. But listen, if we have lost our excitement when it's time to come to church and worship and praise Him, hey, there's something wrong with us tonight. Lost our vision. Even your preacher gets that way sometimes. Well, I can remember after I first started pastoring, I can remember getting up behind the pulpit a time or two and getting ready to preach. And boy, in between of sitting down and getting up and coming over here to stand, I was going, man, I'm glad we get to come back and do it again tonight, because this one probably ain't going to be good. Now, that's what I was thinking from that seat to right here. Man, I'm glad we get to come back and do this again tonight. Boy, that's some kind of mind for the preacher to have, ain't it? Huh? I mean, I'm just being honest with you tonight, as honest as I know how to be. Do we still have the same mindset and heart set that we had? And I mean the excitement that we used to have when it was time and that to come to church and worship. Answer that question. 3 years and 2 weeks ago, I could look at a church and, man, I really felt like everybody was excited, just ready to go. But it seems like that excitement, even in the preacher, has just kind of tapered off a little bit. It's tapered off. Well, God ain't doing what He was, preacher. And, you know, we just ain't seeing things like they were. And again, I'm telling you, it's easy to be exciting when we start seeing things happen. Amen. That's right. Yeah. But when you ain't seeing it, you begin to get a little weird. It's like witnessing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I remember going over there to the nursing home one time, and I was having a pity party for myself. And you go over there, and Sister Margie will tell you this. Some of them don't even know that they're in the world, do they, sis? They really don't know they're in the world. They don't know. And I've told you all this story, but you go over there and you wonder if you're doing any good. And you sing and you preach and you go home, and they'll tell you that they loved you, that you came. And I believe some of them was happy. But I remember watching that old timer over there when I got to singing Amazing Grace, and we come down there to pray. You know, Praise God. And everybody, hey, you can tell when folk been in church. You can tell. Boy, as soon as I started singing, praise God, them hands would go up in there. And you know that been to church. And I watched one of them old timers back there toward the door. He was in a wheelchair. He's had a stroke or something's happened to him. Barely talks. And I watched that little old feeble hand, his right hand, as it started to come up through there. And it made it to about as far as he could get his hand. And that changed everything for me. Just like that. I remembered why I was there. Sometimes we just need to remember why we're here. We come here to worship. We come here to praise. We also come to learn. I asked myself the question here in the past 2 or 3 months, am I preaching with the same excitement that I once did? Am I preaching with the same fervency that I once did? Do the Sunday school teachers teach and that with the same mindset and the same, the same excitement teaching them young'uns as they once did? Do you come with the excitement as you once did? Do we pray for the church as we once did? I believe that makes all difference in the world. We get sidetracked with so much out in the world. Whether it's job, whether it's family, no matter what's going on out there, sometimes we just get sidetracked with it. Church is just a second thought. If we ain't careful and we come in, we know church, we know how to do church, we know how to get in the choir and sing, and we know how to sit down, and we know how to go home, but we don't leave any different than when we came. I won't leave different than when I came. How's your attendance? Church, you say, well, boy, this is Sunday night crowd. Should have preached this morning. That's all right. They'll get theirs along the way. We'll make them a CD or they can download it off the internet. Amen. Some of you used to attend it more than what you do now. That'll make a difference in your life.
Yeah, come on.
You start hitting and missing. I said it the other day. Hey, listen, I told these, and I'm just going to tell them now, you all decide now. Y'all decide now. I didn't tell y'all this at the house yesterday. Y'all decide now to be faithful to church. Now. Y'all ain't married yet, but decide now to be faithful to church. Me and my wife never had to decide that. Y'all know that. I've told you this over and over and over again. That was just something that was instilled in us and drilled into us. We never did talk about that, did we? Are we going to go to church? Are we going to take this Sunday off? Are we going to go next Sunday? What are we going to? Hey, listen, that's never been a problem in our house. Shouldn't be a problem in yours. Hey, listen, the reason you may be struggling with church tonight is you're not attending it faithful like you once did, or maybe you've never been faithful and at the church. Hey, it'll make all the difference in your life just to get faithful in church. Amen. Then it'll have to be faithful in everything else. Because I guarantee you this, if you're not faithful in church, you ain't going to be faithful in nothing else for the Lord.
Amen.
I always found this scripture, I don't want to say funny or odd, but the Lord told the nation of Israel in the book of Deuteronomy, he said in verse 8, he said, and the officers shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? He said, okay. He said, now he's talking to them. He said, now if you're fearful and you're faint-hearted, he said, let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart faint, as well as his heart. He's talking about going out to battle. And he said, look, if you're fearful, you're faint-hearted, he said, don't you go out to battle. He said, because what you're going to do is you're going to affect your brethren. Can I tell you, when you're unfaithful, whether you want to believe it or not, you're affecting the brethren.
Amen.
You may not think so, but you are. Because you know, you may have somebody looking at you and saying, well, you know, they don't care about church. They don't care about the state of the church. They just hit or miss. Why should I care?
Right.
How am I doing tonight? Not only in our service in the church and the service that we have for the church, but how about our service for the Lord? Have we grown weary in well-doing there? How about our witnessing?
Mm-hmm. Come on.
I have found myself in that lacking and having tracts in my pocket in the past month or two. That bothers me. Bothers me. Because I know that I need them things. Now, I have them in the truck or I have them in the car, but listen, something has happened. I had to get my mind off of getting them out of my pocket. You can't hand them out if they ain't in your pocket. How about your daily Bible reading? Your relationship, if you don't pray and you don't read your Bible, your relationship is going to be affected outside of here, and I'll guarantee you it's going to affect when you come in here. I guarantee it. We just get weary while doing. We get stuck in a rut if we ain't careful. You ever been stuck in a rut? You ever been driving a car and just got stuck in a rut? You can't get it out. You got to run out of the rut. Or you got to have enough power to get out of the rut. Hey, we drive on good roads, but I can still remember a few roads around here that had ruts in them, and them was a little fun driving. You just about turn loose of the steering wheel and just go, and they'll drive itself. Some of you ain't got a clue what I'm talking about. I got to talking to them yesterday, Brother Jeff, about how that I was the channel changer at the house growing up. They looked at us like we were crazy, man. I love it. Listen, we grow weary in well-doing if we ain't careful. We grow weary in well-doing coming to church if we ain't careful. It just becomes church. I think you ought to have a mindset that Sunday we're going to church. Sunday night we're going to church. Wednesday night. And by the way, if you're a member here, you'll be faithful here. Amen. Not somewhere else.
Amen.
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 Amen. I mean, if you're a member here, you're a member here. This is where you ought to be at.
Yeah.
Not in some other church. Not following some other preacher. Not following singer somewhere. You ought to be here.
Amen.
Amen, preacher. That's good. You ought to be led and that by the Spirit. Number three. If we ain't careful, and I'm talking about the state of the church, not only will we grow weary in well-doing, but we'll be guilty of quenching the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 said, quench not the Spirit of God. That word quench literally means to extinguish or to put out or to quiet. I can remember a time when I wouldn't even have to ask for testimonies, but folk would just want to testify. Remember a time when really wouldn't even have to say anything about singing. Folk would already be standing up to come and sing before we'd even have to ask. Something's happened. Have we grown just complacent in the situation that we're in? Because I'll guarantee you tonight the Lord is still the same Lord.
Amen.
If He dealt with you before about singing a special, He's not quit doing that. I want you to understand something tonight. We'll quench the Spirit and not follow the leadership of the Lord. And sometimes there is a window there, just an open window to do something. That's when you need to do it. Whether it's in service or just in doing it for the Lord. You remember me telling you about that story? I needing to stop up there at the co-op in Loudoun County. Man, the Lord would not let that thing rest on my mind. I don't know why I needed to stop up there. Don't know what He had in mind. If I was going to stand out there and preach, hand out tracts, go in there and see somebody that needed some help. But I talked myself out of that, drove on down towards Sweetwater on Highway 11. And by the time I had finally, I said, okay, Lord, I'll turn my truck around and go back. He said, it's too late. Ain't nothing you can do about it. Just go on. Sometimes there's just a window to do what you need to do, and you need to do it. You know, that's why the Bible talks about in Romans 8, He said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, you are the sons of God. Are we led by the Spirit of God? He went again in Galatians 5 and said, but if you be led of the Spirit of God, you're not under the law. Are we being led by the Spirit of God? I believe in having order. I believe in things, the Lord having control of the service. But I also believe in folk obeying what needs to be done.
Amen.
And when I get ready to preach, I'll tell you to sit down and I'll get up and preach. Amen. It's that simple. I think sometimes if we ain't careful, we'll plan the Lord out of the service. Are we being faithful to be led? Are we being faithful and that to obey the Holy Spirit of God? Because when we do not be faithful and that to obey the Spirit of God, you know what we become? We become a rebel, don't we? We have rebelled and that against the Lord. But you know what he said? He said, quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. Don't put it out. I can remember being in meeting, and man, things was going good. And then somebody get up and do something that they wasn't supposed to do. Things dead as a hammer. Don't worry about it. It'll lay right there. Dead as a hammer. You know what happens sometimes? Oh, there's sometimes you do need to get up and do something. And sometimes you don't need to. You just need to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we do just need to come in, sing three songs, have no special singing. I preach and we go home. Sometimes that's what's needed. But sometimes that ain't what's needed. And we have to, and that try to discern the Holy Spirit of the Lord. And sometimes that's not the easiest thing to do. I'm talking about the care of the church. I do have care for the church tonight and talking about the state of the church. I believe tonight, if we would just obey the Holy Spirit. Just obey the Holy Spirit. You know, there's one thing that I am very good at. Some of you are already wondering what it is. My wife's smiling over there. You say, well, preacher, are you good at preaching? I hope so, but that ain't what I'm talking about. Are you good at doing electrical work? I hope so, but that's not what I'm talking about. You know, the one thing that I'm very good at? Procrastinating and putting stuff off. She'll tell you. Now, sometimes that can be a little humorous, but I'm going to be honest with you. To procrastinate or put things off in the spiritual realm, generally going to cost us most of the time. Generally going to cost us. I put things off over the years in my own personal life. I put things off here at the church that should have been done, and probably it's cost us because of procrastination. And if you'd be honest, you've done the same. Probably just not as bad as I have. And it gets us every time. But if we'd follow the Holy Spirit, hey, listen, if you don't know what to do, then you just stand still and you keep doing what you know to do. But when you know what to do, then go forward and do it. Quit procrastinating. Quit putting it off. When you've got the answer that says go forward, whether it's just to come and sing a song, whether it's to preach, whatever it may be, when he said go forward, go forward. Amen. Don't procrastinate and put it off. But I'm talking about the state of the church, what hinders our service and what can hinder our church. Then number four, and we'll finish with this one. Number four, sin will hinder us a whole lot if we ain't careful. You can go to Joshua chapter 6 and Joshua 7. Well, go to Joshua 6 with me real quick. I'm going to get ready to close. Man, I appreciate the Lord tonight. Man, I do. Well, well, that ain't where I thought I needed to be there. Well, don't you hate that when that happens? Amen. Verse 18. I had verse 8 wrote down, verse 18. Joshua 6. And look what the Lord tells them. Now, they're fixing to go in to Jericho. And the Lord has given them instructions. about what to do when they come in and what not to do. And in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 18, "And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it." Now if you know the rest of the story, they took Jericho, the walls fell down, they went in battle and won and that city, and you know that a man by the name of Achan took gold, silver, and a goodly Babylonian garment. And not only did he bring trouble and that to himself, but what else did he do? He troubled and that the camp of Israel. I think sin in our life can trouble the church. I think especially when it's not dealt with. If I know something and I don't deal with it, whether it's personally or from this pulpit, I believe I'm literally sweeping it under the rug. And as long as you keep sweeping stuff under the rug, everything looks good, except after a period of time, you know what happens? Things begin to boil up under the rug. And it'll show up. Unconfessed sin. You may think that it's not hurting anything, but I'm telling you what, it sure can hinder our service. If we just let things go for the simple fact of letting it go to get along, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I don't want to hurt your feelings, friend. But I just want you living right and doing right for the Lord.
Amen.
You may not think that the preacher cares for you sometimes, but I'm going to be honest with you tonight. I care for you more than you'll ever know.
Amen.
I want you to understand that. And I want to see us going forward as a church. Most of all, I want the Lord to be happy with us.
Yeah.
I really just want the Lord to be satisfied with us. So Achan said this. You know what? You know what brought on the problem? That they realized that somebody had taken something out of Jericho that they shouldn't have took. They decided that they're going to go fight a little town called Ai. And the men over there, they come to Joshua and they said, don't let us take all the men up there to Ai. He said they're just a small town. They're just a small city. And the Bible said in verse 3 of chapter 7 of Joshua, "And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but a few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men. For they chased them from before the gate of Shibarim and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water." And you go on and you read the rest of the story that God tells them why it happened. Because Achan had took that gold and that silver and that good Babylonian garment, and it hindered the camp of Israel. Now you may not believe tonight that your sin can hinder our meeting, but I guarantee it can. Because it's going to hinder you outside of here, and it'll hinder you inside of here. And it'll hinder us. You need to look in your heart tonight. At least that's one thing I've been looking at. We'll make sure that there ain't something that I've got unconfessed or doing some things that I shouldn't be doing or got some things in my heart that don't belong there. But I've been looking for that to make sure it ain't me. I don't want it to be me. I don't want to be me hindering the service, be a stumbling block. Hey, some folk need to get saved.
Amen.
Man, it's just some folk that needs to get saved, and we need God to move and be able to move.
Hallelujah. Amen.
And not hinder anything. Are you saying, should we come in? I'm not saying we come in and shout it out all the time. But I'm just telling you, there ought to be a spirit that moves in here that God can come in here and work. And I just want Him to be able to work. And I want to know that God has come by when He comes by. Let's bow our heads tonight. Brother Lewis, come give us a verse of invitation tonight, if you would. We may not have no singing tonight, but I want him to come and play for us. Listen, there's folk coming to pray already. How about you? Do you need to come and pray? Have you lost your joy that you once had? Have you got weary and well-doing? Say, preacher, you seem to preach on weary and well-doing. It's easy to get weary and well-doing if we ain't careful, church. I tell you, it's easy to miss that window to miss that window if we ain't careful. When God wants you to do something, you ought to just be faithful to do it. Whether it's in the service or outside these four walls, to be faithful and that to serve God. Well, do you need to come pray tonight? You might be lost tonight. Find yourself in a lost position. I can tell you what God wants you to do tonight. He wants you to come get saved. That's what He wants.